Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my podcast. Today is Thursday, December 7th, 2023. It was 82 years ago that the Japanese, in a surprise attack, came with their planes, their bombs, and wrecked havoc in Pearl Harbor. And what I want to say today is we must never forget that day, which will live in infamy. More than 3,000 were killed in that day. And as we look back and remember this day, we remember we have an enemy yet today, that we have got to find ways to put a stop to the terrorist attack on our soils, on our freedom shores, and the things that we are so precious and zealous about protecting. We must never forget that 82 years ago, our freedoms were attacked in an appalling way. And let us never forget the brave servicemen and women who gave their lives in the next 4 years to defend our freedoms, the greatest generation that ever lived. And they took the battle to the Japanese and to the Germans on their shores and ended the war. Today on The Cross in the Desert, I want to shift gears on topics. And I want us to focus today, as we prepare for Christmas, 18 days away, I want to get our focus right on what is the true meaning of Christmas. Amidst all of the hustle and bustle, the materialism and the commercialism, I want us to focus today on Jesus, the heart of Christmas. This is the time of year when you have agnostics and skeptics and those sitting on the fence and those that are indifferent, that at least at this time of year, with the focus on Christmas, there is a spiritual reality that they have to deal with. Everywhere they go, they're going to see something of Christmas in decorations, in songs, in events, parties at work. And so I want us to focus on what is the meaning of Christmas, so that that atheist, that skeptic, that agnostic, that indifferent person will get the best important good news about what Christmas is really all about right here on the cross in the desert. There was a song that was so popular and still yet today in the 70s called Stairway to Heaven by the iconic rock group Led Zeppelin. And it was the story of buying the stairway to heaven. And in the lyrics, there's the repeated phrase, and we're buying the stairway to heaven. religious mankind is in a pursuit for some kind of spiritual reality of ascending those stairs to heaven to make themselves acceptable to the universe, to God. It's their effort of climbing the stairway up to heaven. But in Christianity, the absolute opposite is true. God descended from his royal throne, if you will, down the stairway and came to us to fix the problem that was wrong with us. Jesus came to once and for all solve the problem, the enmity, the brokenness between God and man. He came to save us from our sins. It's the absolute opposite of the stairway to heaven. We couldn't reach him. We try in our own righteousness and efforts to appease this God, this force, if you will, but we cannot do it. We're not capable, and God understands that. And so God did what we could not do, and we call it by a very special word. It's called the incarnation. What does that mean? The incarnation of Jesus, the heart of Christmas. It means to make flesh. When we say that Jesus, God incarnate, we mean that the Son of God took on a fleshly, bodily form. And it happened as a miracle in the womb of the Virgin Mary, Jesus' earthly mother. But he came to save us from our sins. He was fully human, yet fully God. And how Jesus was able to be both God and man simultaneously is one of the great mysteries of Christianity. But nevertheless, it's the truth. Jesus has two distinct natures, divine and human. Now, just so we set the stage for our teaching today about the incarnation of Christ, the Bible clearly teaches the deity of Christ by presenting his fulfillment of numerous Old Testament prophecies. Isaiah 7:14, Psalm 2:7, he eternally pre-existed. John 1:1, 1-3. He had a miraculous virgin birth. His miracles, the authority to forgive sin, his acceptance of worship, his ability to predict the future, and his resurrection from the dead. The writer of Hebrews tells us Jesus is superior to angels, and angels are to worship him. And so the Bible teaches that Jesus in the incarnation became fully human as the God-man. He was conceived in the womb in his humanity. In his humanity, he experienced normal aging. He had natural physical needs. He had human emotions. He learned. He died a physical death, and he was resurrected with a physical body. Jesus was human in every way like us except for sin. He lived a completely sinless life. So when Jesus, the Christ, took on the form of a human, his nature didn't change. His position did. Jesus, in his original nature of God in spirit form, humbled himself by laying aside his rights and privileges, his glory. But he never stopped being God because he is God. He's immutable. He's infinite. If he would have stopped being God for even a split second, all life would die. The doctrine of the incarnation says that Jesus, while remaining fully God, became fully man. I want us to go through this teaching because I want us to see the glory of who Jesus is, the heart of Christmas. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1:1. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, And without him, nothing was made that was made. He's the Word. He's the divine Logos. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. John 1:1-3, and then verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hebrews 1:3, again echoing the distinct deity of Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. He upholds all things by the word of his power, Hebrews 1:3. Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. This is the announcement of the angel, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. But in everything I just quoted to you, I want us to go to our teaching passage this morning, which says it better than anywhere else in all of Holy Scripture. And it's Philippians 2:5-11. Remember the stairway analogy? Remember the popular song by Led Zeppelin? I want you to hear the reverse of that. I want you to hear how God himself descended from heaven to come and save us. The Apostle Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and on those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Apostle Paul was dealing with a schism in the church at Philippi. There was a group that were not practicing true Christian humility. And because of that, there was strife in the Christian church. And one of the most important things that Jesus taught us in the washing of the disciples' feet is that we are servants. We are to act in a humble way as he, as a servant of God, performed all of his good things in humility. Christ was the personification of humility. And the Apostle Paul, wanting to deal with this problem in the church at Philippi, said, here is the greatest example of us as Christ followers to take heed to when coming to the issue of humility. Our example, Paul is saying, is Jesus, who personified what humility looks like in human flesh. He said, look, let this mind, Philippians, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Savior, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. The Apostle Paul is saying the greatest example of what humility looks like is Jesus. Here is Jesus in the morphe, in the nature, having the same nature of God. He didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God because he already was. He didn't have to strive for that. He already was equal with God the Father. But here's what Jesus did in all of his glory. With all of his robes of perfect righteousness, in all of his royalty, Jesus did something that we need to do. He stepped down off of his royal throne. He didn't cease being God, but he changed positions. He stepped down from his royal throne. He put aside his rights and privileges that he had every right to exercise and made himself of no reputation. Isn't that what's so important to the high and mighty, to the rich and famous, is reputation, its power, its prestige? Well, Jesus had all of those things, riches, position, power, glory. And you know, the rich and famous, they look down on all of us with their noses hung high in the air, right? But Jesus, who had riches and position and power, didn't do that at all. He simply put those rights and privileges aside. He removed his robes of royalty, yet he was still king, yet he was still God. But he says, the Bible says, he made himself of no reputation. He didn't use his position of power and authority to snub at us. He had every right to. He's God. But he put themselves aside, and he took the form of a slave, of a bondservant. Deity coming into human flesh, taking on a nature he never had before, God himself, Jesus, taking on human flesh in the virgin birth, he took the form of a bondservant. He was born in a stable, not in a palace. Not like the rich and famous, you know, over there in Martha's Vineyard and having this great Colosseum. No, Jesus, in his humiliation, coming as a bondservant, laid aside his rights and privileges, was born in a messy, dirty, smelly stable. He took the form of a bondservant. He came in our likeness. And it says he humbled himself and became obedient. He lived a life of perfection, obeying the Father in every law and every jot and every tittle. He humbled himself. Can you imagine that for a second? The God of the universe steps down off of his royal throne, lays aside his rights and privileges, doesn't use his power and position against people, but puts those positional rights aside. He is born in the lowliest and meekest of every situation. He's lowly, he's meek, he's humble. And he willingly gave himself on a cross, the greatest act of humiliation, to be disfigured, to be beaten, to be crucified, to take upon ourselves, himself, all of our sin and judgment. He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This is the descent from the royal throne, the descent into humility, the taking on of our judgment. And God the Father, in recognition of his obedience, becoming the humble bondservant, exalted him. How was he exalted? He raised him up from the dead on the third day. Jesus, who was put to death in the flesh, was made alive by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. God raised him up. So from humiliation now to exaltation, the Father exalts him and gave him the name, which is above every name, the name of Jesus, the name Lord, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and on those on the earth, and those under the earth. Can you see the descent into humiliation and in the exaltation into glory? The name of Jesus. That precious name, Yeshua, Joshua is salvation, the Christ, the anointed one. Every knee should bow. Paul is quoting Isaiah 45:28, at the name of Jehovah, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. He has the name above all names. Every demon in hell trembles at the name of Jesus. Every force of darkness must bow its knee at the name of Jesus. He is the light that pierces the darkness. And it says that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is an incredible passage talking about the royalty, the humiliation, and the exaltation of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is indeed our great God and our Savior. And this Christmas, when we reflect on that baby born in a manger in Bethlehem to fulfill Bible prophecy, that little baby in the manger was God himself manifested in human flesh, who would grow in wisdom, who would be baptized by John in the River Jordan, who would have a life of miracles, who would expose the false teachers of the law and the prophets, who would have compassion on the hurting, the lost, and the oppressed, and who would give his life in exchange for our righteousness and our salvation. So we who are broken and beaten and hurting and sinful, Jesus came to free us from the death grip of Satan and sin and give us the perfect gift of righteousness. That's what Christmas is about. God gave the greatest gift in all of the world for our salvation. When we talk about giving and the meaning of Christmas, it's all about Christ and how God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have life everlasting. And we are to adore him and to worship him for who he is. And to help us do that this morning, this is Chris Tomlin and Adore. Let's listen. Humbly
sing praises ring to the newborn King. Peace on earth, here with us, joy awakening. At your feet we fall.
Beautiful worship music of Chris Tomlin, to put us in the right spiritual frame of mind as we begin to count down to Christmas. It's all about Jesus. What are you hungry for? What are you thirsty for? What do you have most need for? Jesus can satisfy those needs. He said, I'm the bread of life. If you're hungry, I will satisfy it. If you're thirsty, you'll never thirst again. You see, that's what Christmas really is all about. Yes, we reach out, we help hurting people, we give gifts, we gather together with families, all of that's part of it. But the bottom line is we come to adore. We come to worship. We come to recognize that at this one day of the year, we take the message of Jesus to a hurting and dying world. It's the one time of year when the antennas and all of the unbelieving minds, they're surrounded by spirituality. Let us point them to the truth. Let us point them to the Savior. Let us point them to God the Creator. Let us point them in the right direction so that they may know the truth and be set free. This is the first of many programs on the cross in the desert as we approach the Christmas season. I want you to have a great weekend. Be safe. Have fun. I will see you again on Monday on the cross in the desert. God bless you.